It's Friday, February 2nd, and you're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Hey, everyone, I got a great show for you tonight. Strap in because, oh man, got a lot of content to go over. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you as live as it can be from very stormy Honolulu, Hawaii. How's everyone? I tell you what, are you ready for the weekend? Well, first we got to get through Groundhog Day. Yes, we do. And, you know, this show sometimes feels like Groundhog Day, and it's kind of same place, same time. And the only difference is in Honolulu, it has been stormy this week. I feel absolutely terrible for the tourist, but it's actually kind of a nice change because it's always beautiful, sunny. You never have any change in the weather. And I believe it was Tuesday and Wednesday, the winds were just blowing. I mean, it was crazy. Trees were getting uprooted. Power was going out because limbs were falling into power lines. Very, very strange stuff. 60, 70 mile per hour winds. This happens every couple of years. We have a little bit of a windstorm. But who knows how it, you know, it's some sort of weather front that's rolling through. But today the rains came and it rained most of the day. But, you know, hey, guess what? I'm still sitting here in a pair of shorts and a T-shirt with, you know, essentially no shoes on. And it's even though it was rainy and windy, it was still 78 degrees. So who am I to complain, right? Well, I tell you, some of you are going to find out this morning whether or not you're going to have some more winter or not. And we'll see if the groundhog actually sees a shadow. I'm not going to take any predictions on it, but normally he does. So anyway, all right, I got a lot of stuff. Boy, I tell you, I've got a lot of content tonight. We're going to have to go fast, really, really are, because if we don't, this show's going to go long. I just found just an immense amount of cool links tonight. Some of the stuff will be a quick 30-second mention. We'll be able to knock on through, but kind of get you caught up this week. This week's kind of been my week to be almost offline. I've had a very, very busy week at work. Been out of the office each day, pretty much the entire day. Haven't been online, so I come home in the evening and I've got 200 emails waiting for me. So that's been a challenge. And actually, last night I was kind of out of the zone. Really, I hadn't been working too much, hadn't been reading stuff online. Came up here, had to take care of a couple of things for Raw Voice, sent out an email, and one of those emails went out, and you ever had that panicking thought that you said, oh, did I attach the wrong file? And sure enough, I attached the wrong file to an email that went out, and luckily, it only went to a few couple of people, and I said, hey, give me a call, or I'm going to give you a call, or delete that email, let me know that you deleted it, I sent you the wrong data. You do stupid things when you're tired, you really, really do. And, man, I was just like, so I just hung up the keyboard for the rest of the night. I went downstairs and I found something, some documentary on HD, and, I zoned in front of the Bloob Tube all night. But yeah, I guess you got to do that once in a while. But I've got some final exams to take this weekend, so I've been studying up for that a little bit. Getting ready for, it's going to relatively be a big weekend. I've got a lot of stuff going on. I got a buddy that's having a birthday party Saturday night. So we're going to be over at his house. It's a surprise birthday party that his wife is throwing. And then kind of getting ramped up to go to Chicago the week of the 6th, weekend of the, I guess I fly out of here the night of the 15th for Chicago. I'm going to spend 3 days there. And then off to Jacksonville, Florida. So I'm going to be in Jacksonville, Florida. If you are a listener and you're in the Orlando area or anywhere in striking distance of Jacksonville, I'd love to have dinner one night with some listeners up there or down there. So if you're in the Jacksonville area, drop me an email at geeknews@gmail.com. and love to hook up with some of you. Well, I got up real early. You know, I did the show Monday, released it Tuesday morning. I had to be up really, really early Tuesday morning, and we had a demo, and the demo went really, really well. I had, I guess I can tell you this much. I had people online from Florida. I had people on from Milan. I had people on from New York. It was a pretty good demo, and all stuff surrounding Raw Voice. It was a 30-minute meeting turned into a two-hour deal, so I'm real happy with that. But anyway, that demo went well. And, you know, I've been noticing ever since I rolled out the new website design, and I do want to thank everyone that's provided some feedback, because a couple of you found some bugs, and one of you said, hey, I can't go next or previous on your in your archives, and I got that fixed today. And someone said, hey, by the way, can't click on your top of your website to get back to the homepage, and can't click on your title link. So it's just some little stuff we've missed, and we'll get that, get those little corrections made to the website. So I do definitely want to appreciate all the feedback that all of you have given me. But speaking of the website, and maybe I shouldn't talk about it in here, because probably you're all going to be looking at it real close. Well, go ahead, you know, but the amount of traffic that I am getting from Google has went up about tenfold, and I have no reason to explain it, except for the simple fact that we have tags interlinked on the system. We've got a new design. Really nothing else has changed very much, but the Google traffic has just like exploded. And I don't know why, but it's really, really zany. And I tell you what, the power of blogging is amazing. Let me give you an example of a search term, really strange search terms that drove a lot of traffic this week. Rush hour times H3 Hawaiian. H3 is the name of a highway here in Hawaii. And I'm the number third search item within the a Google search engine for that. And then I've got another Google search term. It's basically people are typing in deer in headlights. And I had an article I wrote once before that said, do you get that deer in the headlights look? And it was in reference to talking to people about RSS and OPML. And you wouldn't believe the amount of traffic that I get. Just, you know, I'm sure people are looking to try to figure out why deer look funny in headlights or something. I don't know. But and then I've got a search term that keeps coming in is, will Media Player ever support podcasting? And I'm like the number one search term for that. So, you know, it's just amazing the stuff that's come through. And, you know, the Google used to drive a lot of traffic before, but the increase is unbelievable. It really, really is. So I'm not going to look a gift horse in the mouth. We'll see if it continues. But I guess I'm going to have to give kudos to my developer for doing something pretty amazing with the site, because it's definitely something has changed. That's for sure. Hey, there's a new site out that I want to talk about real quick that was actually at the real demo, where the people have to pay like $30,000 and be essentially looked at to make sure that they basically have like 60 companies are able to demo to VCs and stuff. But there's a product called Sentinel, and it's a Sentinel beta. And this is a tool that I've actually been looking for a long time. And what it will do is you sign up for it, and you enter your blog's RSS feed, and then it will track and look at the amount of sites that are stealing your content and actually build your report listing. Is that cool or what? So I'll be keeping you advised on this. This is in beta right now. Site was a little buggy when I was using it earlier. Have a link up in the show notes to it. But I think you'll get something out of this if you're worried about your content essentially being stolen by people. All right, got a couple of things here. What else I got in my list? I got down through that. This, I'm covered. Oh, okay. Let me get into. Let's. Heck, we're doing good on time. Let's take care of a little business here. Hey, we're going to be introducing a new promo code tonight, And I want to have you take note of this. And this is a specific promo code. If you are looking for web hosting, I want you to use POD58, P-O-D-58, when you're over at GoDaddy.com. And if you're signing up for web hosting with them, you know, you can get reliable and secure web hosting without long-term contracts. GoDaddy's hosting plans are huge, and they have a 99% uptime, free 24/7 support, and no annual commitment. And best of all, their plans start at $3.99. But when you go to checkout, use that code POD58, and there'll be a new link in the show notes tonight. And if you'll look at the link that it takes you to, I think you'll be surprised there. It's actually a branded page that has got a quote from me. I was kind of surprised to see that in there. But thanks for GoDaddy for being a sponsor here. And of course, all the other codes work as well. Todd, T-O-D-D, for 10% off on your orders. Or Geek5 will get you a 15% off on $20 or more. But that POD58 will give you some special discounts when you're looking at hosting. Now, I have received a couple of emails from all of you, from some of you asking, hey, where's the roundtable that you guys produced on Saturday? Well, Adrian over at Tech Podcast is getting that squared away. And he'll have that up online. Of course, that was done through our web conferencing tool, GoToMeeting. But these days, whether you're in business or simply want to share something with friends or family, email and voicemail sometimes just aren't enough. That's why you should try GoToMeeting, a web conferencing solution that will revolutionize how you communicate with business associates, family, and friends. The ability to host online meetings is a must for today's business. With GoToMeeting, it's just like you're in the same room. Try it yourself free for 30 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. Try GoToMeeting free today. And of course, thanks for GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here at the Geek News Central podcast. All right, let me go ahead and load up my aggregator here. And the first article that I have tonight for you is from TopRankBlog.com, and it's an interview with the CEO of MyBlogLog. Now, those of you that visit GeekNewsCentral.com will have seen the MyBlogLog applet that's running in the second column of the website. Matter of fact, I was considering pulling it off because it was really, really slow in loading over the last week. So I was curious about the interview and if they were going to talk about that. But anyway, a couple of the questions that were asked of him that I found intriguing was one that was asked. It said, what kind of marketing and promotion tactics were most successful? And he says, the widget made us. Now, I'm going to stop right there, and I think that is just a very profound statement. And it's true, though. You know, I wouldn't have ever went over and used their site if they had not built that widget to use on my actual web blog. And I think that that tells you where we're kind of headed in a lot of the services today. And another thing that I found interesting in his commentary was, he says, are there any feature enhancements planned that you can share? He said that they're going to roll out private label communities like community.techcrunch.com for everyone as soon as we can. I think that's very interesting in itself. It made me go, and for more than one reason. But it is kind of interesting what they're considering doing there and building community websites for individual blogs. It's definitely an interesting concept, and a couple of great takeaways there. So again, it was over at TopRankBlog.com. I have a link up in the show notes. Now, Vista's only been on the street for consumers since Monday, or actually Tuesday, I guess, Tuesday morning. And Microsoft confirms that the Vista speech recognition has a remote execution flaw. So I would recommend that here I am giving you security recommendations for Vista already. Is that wrong or what? But if you've got that enabled when you're away from the computer, turn your speakers off, okay? Or if a hacker figures out how to infiltrate Vista right away, imagine this, they're going to have an MP3 that says, start, run, command, C prompt, you know, I go through format, C, return, and cause the, you know, who knows what it's going to cause the Vista application to do, but I think it's pretty funny. I'm sure the risk there is really, really low, but it is intriguing that one day after the launch, or actually a couple days after launch, there's already a reported security issue. Now, some more news out of the Microsoft front, and we'll come back to Vista a little later. But Microsoft says that a senior Zune executive is going to be leaving the company. Apparently, Brian Lee, a corporate vice president in Microsoft's Entertainment and Device Division, is going to be leaving Microsoft. Now, I wonder if that's from sinking Zune sales or if this guy has had enough of the corporate control. They don't say too much about what's going on there. This guy is bailing, and I don't know, you never know if this guy's been asked to leave or if he's leaving on his own or if he was pressured out or, if it's, you never really know the full deal. Maybe we'll find out at some time in the future. I doubt it, but, there will be a new, senior leader coming in and, taking over that specific job. All right, up in the, going to move, shift gears here a little bit, in science and space news. There was, out at the International Space Station, there was a spacewalk undertaken, and apparently there was a small leak of toxic ammonia, which dripped from a cooling line. Apparently it didn't touch the U.S. astronauts conducting the spacewalk, but it did raise enough concern that they spent some extra time in the airlock, and they did some, sniffing of their systems to make sure that they weren't bringing any contamination into the space station. But this is the second time this has happened. The first time was actually back in 2001, where the substance actually got onto this astronaut. So we'll see what happens there. And, when they say toxic ammonia, that kind of like, in those conditions, you just got to wonder how volatile that stuff is and how dangerous it is to a person. I'm going to have to look it up on the net and see how bad this stuff really, really is. But they're going to be doing a bunch of spacewalks here in the next week or so. And they got a lot of stuff to do on the International Space Station. We got some more interesting space news to talk about later as well. But I'm going to switch back into the tech side. TiVo stopwatch is going to be offering up precise viewer statistics. Now, I don't know what I feel about this, but the TiVo is actually going to be measuring what people are doing on their devices. So the TiVo box is going to be calling home, apparently almost in real time, and it's going to be watching its 4.5 million or so customers and whether or not they're whizzing through customers or what they've scheduled for season recordings. And this is going to be some sort of a syndicated rating system that is going to be detailing time-shifted viewing data on a second-by-second basis, which is very, very interesting to say the very least. I just don't know how much data they're going to be sending back, if there's privacy concerns there. What we watch in our privacy of our homes is our own business. But do you want your TiVo to call home? Does TiVo give you a way to opt out? It doesn't say anything in this article about, being able to stop this type of data being sent back. Does that go into a database? And this is troubling to me. It really, really is. So I'm going to be digging around and trying to find out some more information on this. But for those of you that are TiVo users, you're definitely going to want to read this article, and we'll find out what TiVo has to say. Hopefully, they'll have some more detailed information out. But call home, tell the network what you're watching. That's all I really want to happen. Not. All right, Apple and Cisco have agreed to kind of hold off on their lawsuit, and maybe they're going to go and hug each other, and I'm sure what Apple has probably figured out is, we got a real issue here, and maybe I ought to just go ahead and pay Cisco and, kind of come back to the bargaining table and try and kiss and make up. I think we all kind of expected this. And we'll see what happens here, but for right now, they're gonna kind of hold up, and they're gonna hold hands for a little bit. And the question is, how much do you think Apple's gonna have to pay Cisco? That's the question. How much is it gonna be worth to Steve Jobs and company to pay them off, to get them off their back, or what concessions are they gonna have to have? That is the true question of the day. And we'll see how worried Apple was based upon how the negotiations go. right, for those of you that have installed Vista, you know, many of you are worried that you weren't going to be able to get a clean install for an upgrade from an XP upgrade to Vista. They have found a workaround. So I'm going to have a link up in the show notes going to talk about how to do an actual clean install via an actual Vista upgrade. So, and I've got a buddy that talked to me today, and he actually went out on Tuesday, picked up a copy of Vista. I believe he got Ultimate, took it home, and he has had nothing but nightmares ever since. One of the primary reasons was is he was running a RAID configuration on his box. It didn't handle that real well. He also left all of his peripherals plugged in when he did the upgrade, and that kind of caused it to choke. So he did three or four, and essentially took him three or four tries to get it installed. And then once he did, he was good. Played around with it for a while, but he was all fine and dandy until he took his Apple iPod, stuck it in the docking station, and you guessed it, blue screen of death. Apple, Apple does not have the iTunes or the drivers or anything Vista compatible. So if you have, you know, only a single machine and you're using that for iTunes, be forewarned, Vista does not play well with iTunes and your iPod. So screen of death, blue screen of death, locked his system out, actually corrupted some segments on his hard drive. And he was telling me all about this experience he's had with upgrading to Vista. So it's still buggy. It's still buggy. And obviously Apple, I wonder if Apple did this on purpose to kind of give Vista a snub Vista for a little bit. But I'm sure there's a lot of people that have iPods that are stuck. They can't use the iTunes with their, you know, they just can't sync their MP3 players. We're going to have to watch and see what is the actual number of people that we lose on the show because they can't actually download the show via iTunes and get it onto their MP3 players. That's going to be the deal. How many of you have run into that? How many of you actually went and upgraded and you've already found out that iTunes is not compatible? Now, we're talking about MP3 players. It appears, and this is a little bit of rumor on the street, that the Zune has got some screen cracking issues possibly from battery pressure when the device is recharging. So if you go out and you use your Zune all day and you burn the battery down and you come home and you plug it into your USB port, I hate those. I wish I could charge the Zune. Or charge a Zune on the side. You know, why would you want to do that? When I had that one before we sent it off, it charged the USB port. Now, I think they sell an external kit, but I didn't ever see an external charger for it. But, you know, you got to charge it through your USB. So, I know you can buy those external USB power plugs as well. Probably be a good investment for people to have Zunes, but they're thinking that while the battery's recharging, it heats up and expands, it pushes against the screen and causes it to crack. So far, Microsoft is basically saying, tough. So we'll see how this develops, and this could turn ugly. It really, really could over time. Been a few reported cases on this. All right, next up is this deal that happened in Boston. What do y'all think about that? Those guys were doing that LED ad campaign. It had that cartoon character that was actually flipping the people the bird, and how those guys got arrested and how the whole nation went, you know, TVs went live to Boston, and it's been a debate on all the different talk shows. I don't know. I think it's a little bit of an overreaction, that's for sure. And I'm sure that CNN, who owns Time Warner, which is the same company that owns the Cartoon Network, is going to have to essentially defend these two guys if they had the marching orders of the actual Cartoon Network. But what do y'all think? Think it was an overreaction? Were you in Boston? Did this affect your commute? You know, what do you think about all this? You know, and I guess these things had been up a couple of weeks. It's not like they were up, they hadn't been up the same day. So, very interesting. And don't be sticking any LED lights anywhere, that's for sure. You get arrested and put in jail for terroristic type activities. All right, the Pirate Bay story continues to get weirder and weirder. If you remember, a couple of weeks ago, I talked about how the Pirate Bay was looking at trying to raise enough money to buy Sealand. Well, that deal fell through. But instead, today, they came up with Plan B. They are looking at forming what's called, or what they have formed, something they're calling the Free Nation Foundation. And from their site, it says the FNF, or Free Nation Foundation, is an organization that aims to found a new society based on the ideals of freedom, equality, and sustainable growth. We believe our current societies are fundamentally flawed and based on wealth accumulation, and wish to create a model nation based on what we believe are the most important ideals. You go in to read some of this, I'm kind of like, sounds like a form of communism almost to me, but that's my personal opinion. But there is a, they're trying to form the rules of what this society is going to be like, and they're looking at places where they can possibly go to form this free nation. Well, I tell you, honestly, I think these guys that are forming this, I'm not saying Pirate Bay users are weird, but this, the people that run Pirate Bay, very, very odd. Really, really odd. So I'm going to let you guys take a look at this article. What else? What's next? What are they going to dredge up next? Okay, moving on to more serious subjects, and those of you that are big fans of the Linux build of Ubuntu, I think you're going to get a kick out of this story. There was apparently a tech. His father had asked him, "Hey, I'm curious what's going on with this Windows Vista. Why don't you go out and buy me a copy of Windows Vista Ultimate? Go ahead and install it on my computer, and I'll pay a few bucks to do it." So the son, the dutiful son, went out and instead of buying Windows Vista Ultimate, he burned a copy of Ubuntu's and installed it on his PC. I guess what happened when Dad come home, he showed him the new Vista install, complete with the latest Office and Solitaire. And apparently it's been a few days since that, and his father's raving, saying that Bill Gates is better than Steve Jobs, and brags about how OS X on his iMac is obsolete compared to Vista on his PC. Now, this is just a story that is up on a website. Whether or not it's truly true or not, I wish this guy would have backed this up with some more evidence, but he says he's going to continue the prank for some weeks, after which he's going to tell his father about this and give him his money back. Now, you know, I'm sorry. How could the father really not know that he wasn't running Windows Vista? The boot up in itself would look completely different. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see over time. It's good for a laugh in the meantime. All right. Okay. Next up, we're going to talk a little bit about BitTorrent. A couple of weeks ago, I believe it was around the 10th or 11th of January. Mark Cuban was complaining about BitTorrent, essentially saying it's doomed, it's doomed, it's going to go away, there's no way it's going to survive. And part of that relates to some discussion that's been happening on the net about net neutrality and how some ISPs might be signing up for net neutrality and how it puts them in a bind in order to continue to support BitTorrent. Because many ISPs today throttle BitTorrent traffic. They don't allow it to run at its full speed, because, you know, it's such a bandwidth pig. It's, you know, it's taken up like 55% of all the internet traffic that's out there. But we all know that peer-to-peer applications like BitTorrent are being used for a lot of good uses. You know, primarily people are out there sharing when new Linux builds come out. And heck, we even use it at Raw Voice to move files around between our group. So, you know, there's a lot of valid uses for BitTorrent, but there's a lot of speculation that ISPs are going to be pressured to either eliminate BitTorrent traffic completely, or they're going to have to go completely the other way and just completely unthrottle it and let it run. But Bram goes on to discuss and challenge many of the points that Mark Cuban has made, and he does understand that BitTorrent works great as an application, and it does have some challenges. But, you know, there's some things to think about here. What would happen if ISPs all of a sudden said, okay, we're going to crack down completely on BitTorrent? it would have a devastating impact. It really, really would, because there's a lot of applications. You look at Opera has BitTorrent built into it for some of its supported peer-to-peer functions. You know, it's just, it could be really, really bad. Do you think the ISPs are going to start limiting or completely blocking BitTorrent traffic? Or if they tried, would the BitTorrent community work around it? That is a question I guess that has to be asked. So when you get a chance, go ahead and read Bram's article. Link over to the original one by Marx, and form your own opinion on where you think BitTorrent's going. You know, I love BitTorrent. I really think it's a great solution, and I wish that all the podcatchers that were out there that were downloading podcasts and video media and so forth would have BitTorrent built in. This would allow, this would solve what I feel still is a pending bandwidth issue throughout the space in essentially overnight. And, you know, everyone that's consuming the media would also help share distribute it. I'm sure that just makes a lot of ISPs cringe. But, hey, you know what? They're there to provide a service, and we're paying for it. And if we use a lot of bandwidth and it's legitimate, I guess they better raise the rates and put in some more bandwidth. I'm all about more speed. How about you folks? My personal opinion, though, is that BitTorrent's here to stay. It's not going anywhere. And we'll see what the ISP do. I really do. I think they'll have it would be such a huge outcry from their users. I think that they wouldn't dare do it. Over the past couple of weeks, I've gotten a lot of influx of listeners of the show that have asked me to go ahead and, you know, really consider using Linux on my desktop. And while I'm still not convinced that's the way to go, primarily because, you know, everyone else, it's a Windows or a Mac world, really. And unless you can, you know, have complete cross-compatibility across applications and different things that, you know, people send you on the net, it's really, really tough to make that switch. And what I found tonight, too, as I was kind of going through stuff, and maybe probably why this article has gotten some attention is because of the Vista launch this week, is a guy by the name of Jim Sampson. He wrote an article that is titled 10 Years of Pushing for Linux Adoption in the Workplace and Why I Gave Up. He goes on to tell the struggles that he's had over the past 10 years and actually trying in good faith to make the switch. And, you know, by being a small business owner for a while and how he was trying to save money, but he kept running up against the same roadblocks that I'm sure many of us have had. You know, take for example, if I was to switch some of my machines here to Linux-based, you know, I'd have to give up my bookkeeping applications like Quicken. I'd have to do without many of the different news aggregators I use. You know, there's just a whole plethora of applications that just do not run on Linux. And while I applaud the Linux community for building great server-side solutions, I think for the general population, I think it's just too hard to make that bounce. Part of it's because of the lack of applications to support current Windows supported stuff. So I guess I can feel this guy's pain, and I can understand why a lot of people don't make the switch. And I think the Linux community in itself has tried real, real hard, but I think they still got a long way to go. They're getting closer. And only time will tell if it's at some point become synonymous where you can run Mac OS X, run Windows Vista, run a variety or a version of Linux, and at the same time, you know, interact between all three in all different applications without having too much trouble. But I don't think that's exactly the case currently today. So I'll link this up in the show notes, and of course I want those of you that are big Linux proponents, you know, maybe you can do a little more convincing on me and talk about replacement programs that you're using, and when you made the switch, how obviously Star Office is out there, and you can open Word documents and so forth, but how do you get around the other concerns, or you know, how do you do your bookkeeping? How do you, you know, what do you use for, you know, for high-end video editing. You know, what's the whole night? You know, there's a whole plethora of applications we all use. And how do you mitigate that? Or do you just have another Windows machine stuck off the side that does those functions, but you try to primarily live in the Linux or actually a dual boot system? You know, let me know. I'd like to hear from you for sure. All right. Along with the Vista's launch, has been a lot of discussion of the new media center that's going to be or that has been rolled out. And if you were a Windows Media Center 2005 user, like many of us have been, I'm sure you were eagerly awaiting Windows Vista's arrival for its cable card HD TV compatibility and recording features. And essentially, you would be able to do away with your TiVo when you essentially could build your own system for, you know, essentially a small fee. Sadly, there are no cable card. There's no cable card support now on any devices that are available out there that for Vista. Now, there's a couple that are some real high-end solutions where you can pay several thousand dollars and upgrade your system from companies like Nivus or Okoro, but they're really, really high-end units. We're all probably going to have to wait a few months for the major manufacturers to come on board and put out some cable card certified tuners in the pre-built systems. So we'll see what happens there when that happens, and I'm sure that's going to help drive some Vista sales because I could see that functionality becoming more useful, you know, especially seeing what's going on in the TiVo side. You know, why pay TiVo when you can have your own DVR functionality and not have TiVo calling home on you, but do it within Windows Vista? And of course, there'll be the solution from Apple as well. For those of you that are gamers, do a lot of online gaming. Word of caution for you, it's being reported that 90% of online games are not working within Vista. Primarily the, you know, kind of like the small, low-level games that many of you play, versions of Solitaire, or even some of the you know, kind of cheesy online games. They're saying that most of the stuff that has to download and install to run will not work with Vista. This guy that was interviewed in this article on, where's this website at? It's over at tgdaily.com. Man, he just rips Vista something fierce, and that he thinks that Microsoft made a conscious decision to make it tough for downloadable applications to work with Vista, and you know, really fires at him in a pretty big way. And he thinks they went overboard in some of their security features. And, you know, this is impacting this guy's business by the number of Vista users that are going to be coming online, not being able to, you know, essentially use the software and the games that his company offers, either through a standard install package or via online. So obviously he's going to have to spend a lot of money to make them Vista compatible. If he doesn't, he's going to be out of business. But he's not quite sure how he's going to make the workaround. He said that approximately 20 of his 90 employees spent about a year to make some of his games compatible with Vista. And he says it was not a small undertaking. But we'll link this up in the show notes, and you guys can take a look at this. I'd like to hear, for those of you that are gamers, if you upgraded to Vista, the experience you've had, and if your games are working or if they're not. Every once in a while, you'll find an article that talks about how things used to be. And this is a website that covers a lot of this stuff. It's called, it's at blog.modernmechanic with an X at the end, mechanics.com. I have a link up in the show notes, of course. But they've scanned in a magazine article that talks about what happens when you mail a letter. And it's, of course, what happens when you mail a letter in the time frame of 1951. And they actually take you through the full steps from the time when you would drop the letter into the mailbox to the time it was delivered. I tell you, we've come a long way. But what was the most fascinating thing in this actual 6 or 7 page article was what they were using in New York City to move around mail. And I did not know that they were using pressurized tubes. You just got to check this thing out. It's really, really cool. And it just goes to show you that in 1951, they were being pretty ingenious in moving stuff, moving mail. And I tell you what, shows that even for the time frame, they were using some pretty modern, I guess what I would call, techniques to move mail around. All right, if this next article doesn't make you get a little bit red around the collar, I don't know what will. Now, just, you know, I'm sure many of you are going to be inviting friends over, and you're going to have pizza, and you can probably drink a few beers during the Super Bowl on Sunday. You know, it's just a good time to kick back and, you know, watch one of the pristine sports events of the year. Well, apparently there's a church, and I don't know exactly where they're located. It was the Fall Creek Baptist Church was going to have a Super Bowl bash, and they were going to have members of the church come in, and they were going to have a nice social event where they were going to have the game on. And I guess they're going to have a big screen hooked up. Well, apparently the NFL caught wind of this and have shut them down. They said, this is in violation of NFL rules for our rebroadcast. You cannot do this. You cannot hold a big event. You can't hold have a big event where there's more than a couple of people and having, you know, basically pay us or you can't have it. Turns out that there's some sort of a rule they've got in place that if you have a TV that is larger than 55 inches, legally, according to their licensing rules, only one person can watch that screen. this is a true story, folks. It really, really is. This is how ridiculous, just absolutely ridiculous, what is wrong with our society when the National Football League comes in and says you cannot have a gathering to watch a football game? They're not making no money off this. This isn't like an event where there's going to be a pay-per-view going on. Something is definitely wrong with this picture. I really don't understand it. I really don't. All right, let's move on to more cheerful things here. Well, apparently the folks that are creating all these cool little USB devices that are burning out USB ports left and right, the newest one out on the market is a anti-slouching device. It for $26, you plug this into your USB port, and you point it at yourself, and it will ensure that you don't slouch when you're using the computer. It apparently reminds you, based upon something that it sees, I don't know, but come on. You know, we all need to keep our, you know, we all have to be aware of our posture, and we have to try to sit up straight. But to have a device that plugs into our USB port to remind us, give me a break. You know, how much more stupid stuff are we going to have on there? Next thing we're going to have is a USB-powered back scratcher or something like that. All right, over on Microsoft Watch, going to move back into the Vista. I got this stuff all interlaced in here, don't I? It's an article entitled, I've been carded by Windows Vista. And this kind of, this actually really surprised me, because what happened was a guy by the name of Joe Wilcox installed Vista, went through the certification checks. He's got it set up. Oh, yep, your Windows Vista install is the genuine deal. And basically the system's unlocked. He can go ahead and use it as he well pleases. But he went to download some software that came from Microsoft. And I guess it actually popped up and notified him that he had to re-enter some information to validate again. Apparently what Microsoft is doing is from time to time, when you go to install some software or upgrade something, it'll actually prompt you again to revalidate. And instead of doing it back channel where you don't notice it, it's going to drive people absolutely insane by, you know, essentially having this notification tool come up from time to time. Now, I travel all over the country. Do you think I'm going to keep if I upgrade a machine to Windows Vista, do you think I'm going to have that on me at all times? I can just see it now. Honey, can you go upstairs and can you look at the Windows Vista box that's on the shelf and can you read me that 85-digit number that they give us? And she's going to be like, you're kidding, right? What is, come on, Microsoft. A little bit overboard on this genuine advantage program. It really, really is. You're going to have to read through this to just get it. He's got an interview, actually, along with this. He had talked to somebody at Windows about this additional check that they're doing. And, you know, even Apple, the Mac, does its validation back channel. You don't even know what's going on. Most people don't even know that it does that. But, yeah, it calls home and lets it, and does a kind of a security check saying, is my version legal? And Apple apparently replies back and says it, yes. But I guess this happened when this guy was downloading what's called the Ultimate Extra Downloads. And that's when the application was required to phone home again, even though he had just installed it and very shortly thereafter had, you know, been prompted to validate again. Very, very, very odd. All right. Robert Scoble's got a pretty good article out. It says, what's cool at demo? I'll just link this up in the show notes. I've looked at two or three of the sites already. One that really caught my eye was also Robert's number one pick called Zoho's Notebook. It's like an online OneNote, and I tell you what, I love OneNote. I really, really do. If you're going to school or if you've got a kid that has got a tablet and he's using it in class, OneNote is the application you definitely want to have loaded on there. But this Zoho Notebook is going to be a big winner because it replaces a lot of that functionality right online. And I'm definitely going to be taking advantage of it, and it allows you to do something collaborative too. And just imagine you get together with three or four friends are taking the same class and you all take notes within the same workspace. That's pretty cool, yeah? You know, four heads are better than one. You know, or multiple people adding to the conversation. You could really build some serious study notes by collaborating that way. And very, very cool. Bunch of video demos he's got where he's got some recordings already up. So that you can check those out. A lot of cool stuff coming out of demo. Of course, those 63 companies, again, paid $30,000 each to be get their 6 minutes of fame in front of all the VCs. And, of course, all new product rollouts. So I'm sure we're going to start seeing a lot of companies get funded because of this. All right, a little bit more on the pay per post company. Apparently, what's going on is that they are now going to be targeting some of the top bloggers in that they're going to set up advertising deals where companies can come in and pay a massive amounts of money for some of the top bloggers to do reviews on. And I tell you, they may convert a few people because if you know, someone calls you up or you get an email from a company that says, hey, we're going to pay you $2,000 to do a single article a week on a particular product, I tell you what, there's a lot of bloggers out there that are starving bloggers that would probably say, oh, that sounds pretty good. I don't think this pay-per-post company is going away anytime soon. Now, kind of on the same front, I guess there's been another payola scam exposed over at Digg. There's some guy that wants to produce promote a certain company, and he's willing to pay some of the top Digg authors $500 to help get his company to the front page on Digg. Now, this guy has actually been kicked off of some other communities already, and I don't know if this drove this or not, but it was also announced by the folks at Digg today that they're going to be removing a section of the... It's actually, they're not no longer going to show the top posters at Digg. They're going to take that off the website. And I don't know what kind of reaction or backlash is going to be from that, but they understand that they owe a lot of gratitude to those top diggers that were essentially submitting a lot of articles. And so now, because of all the stuff that's going on and a lot of these accusations of payola and so forth, they're going to remove that listing from the front page of Digg. And it looks like more changes coming on that front. A little bit more on the BitTorrent issue. I'll link this up in the show notes. It's an article from Ars Technica. Talks about net neutrality and how it's going to affect BitTorrent throttling. Goes in line with that other post we talked about earlier. A lot of Flickr users are really upset over Yahoo now requiring them to convert. We knew this was coming. And I had already converted my Flickr username to my Yahoo login name. And now it's going to be mandatory from March 15th forward. People will no longer be able to use the original Flickr login, will have to be converted over. And there are a lot of upset people, and including some changes that they have made to Flickr and reducing some of the functionality. And I would assume that some of the top Flickr users are probably going to be looking for a new home based on some of these actions. Now, I blogged about this earlier in the week, but BBC picked up on it, and there's a lot of comments that are in this particular post that I thought was relevant. A link will be up in the show notes. I think you guys that are Flickr users, this will probably be a very worthy read. Okay, we're going to switch gears and go back to the space front. If many of you probably read how China launched a missile earlier in the month to destroy one of its own weather satellites. And the test was very effective. Apparently, according to the article on ABC News, the satellite was 537 miles overhead when they launched the missile. Now, the missile was not carrying a warhead. It just used the kinetic energy of the impact to destroy the actual satellite. And apparently, the missile hit the satellite with such force that it just obliterated the satellite. And what that has resulted in, and what is the crux of this article, is that there are now at least an additional 525 pieces of debris from the collision, each about the size of a baseball, that are slowly now going to drift into a complete orbit. And what they were tracking before, of course, the U.S. government or the space agencies have tracked all this debris before, and you know they have it cataloged, they know the flight path. And they're saying that this is just an extreme event, and they've already had 60 near misses from different types of satellites that are currently in orbit, and it's just only a matter of time before what they have done here is going to cause some serious damage. Either it could be to the International Space Station, it could be to another satellite, could be to the space shuttle when the space shuttle launches. But with the current inventory of around 14,000 pieces of space junk, this deliberate act, you know, here we go. This deliberate act just immediately jumped the count by another 500 or 600. Now that's the big pieces. That's not including the small stuff. I don't know what the Chinese were thinking there, but they need to stop that crap. You know, won't be long if they continue to do that. We won't even be able. It's really, really dumb. Why? Just because we can? Hello? It doesn't take a rocket scientist, my friends, to shoot a missile and hit a target. Just kills me. It really, really does. I really don't understand. I guess because they could. That's the reason they did it. But the orbit is a north-south orbit. So, a lot of the satellites that are weather satellites will be affected and could be impacted by this stuff. Really dumb move. Really, doesn't it just make you mad? All right, in tonight's show notes, you're going to find that there'll be 6 or 7 articles that I did not cover in the show, and you'll want to definitely check those out as well. They're kind of like, the B-roll for tonight that I skipped as I was going through the recording, tonight. So check those out. And, of course, if you're not getting our newsletter, make sure you do get signed up. You can go over to geeknewscentral.com, and in the third column of the website at the very top, you'll see our newsletter sign-up link that will take you to a page to get signed up for our newsletter, and where we'll deliver the show notes with all the links to all these articles directly to your inbox, and you'll have that immediately following the show. So get signed up for that. And I've got some audio comments. We'll get into those in just a second. But, hey, thanks, everyone, for continuing to stay and subscribe. Thanks for all the long-term listeners. I do appreciate your support. I got some great email comments and some good audio comments as well. Let's get those busted out, and we'll get the show wrapped up. But here's the first audio comment.
Hey, Todd, this is Dave here from the Audio Collective, and I've got some YouTube secrets for you. You can get some pretty sweet-looking video, actually, on YouTube. The key to it is, though, is compression before you upload to YouTube, because YouTube, their flash converter, isn't really that great. And I've experimented a little bit with it myself, but if you want a full in-depth story, actually, the current episode of This Week in Media, episode number 37, they dive a little bit into it, and it's at 47 minutes into the episode. They start talking about YouTube and how you can get some pretty good-looking video on there. So I thought you might be interested in that, and I've seen some videos that it's hard to tell that it's even a Flash player. But I've seen some really bad ones, too. So it's just a kind of little bit of trial and error, but compression with H.264 before you upload is one of the most important things. So I thought you might be interested in that.
Hey, thanks for that.
Show. Talk to you later.
Hey, thanks for that link. And one other listener had sent me that data as well. And I have not got a chance to listen to that show, but I do have it bookmarked. I went over to the website, found it, I've got it bookmarked, so I can go back. I actually need to subscribe to it and get it downloaded and I can listen to it on the way to work. But I want to kind of be in a place where I can actually write some notes down. You know, I do use H.264 and compression on my current video creation. So I guess we're going to have to see what they use for some exact settings, and hopefully that'll help out. And hey, and thanks for that. That's really, really cool. Appreciate the tip. All right, here's the next audio comment.
Hey, Todd, it's Kevin Crossman calling regarding your rant about podcast directories. I'm not calling as a producer in my capacity as the host of the Frat Pack podcast, but as a podcast listener. You know, I think you're more right than wrong about the fact that the problem with Dig is that it just, you're right, it doesn't cycle through and give you anything new. It's always the same things over and over again. It's the same thing with the Yahoo podcast directory, Podcast Alley, etc. I think that Blueberry, as well as iTunes, both do a good job of providing users with some context about popular shows, because that is an important thing. We need, when someone's new to podcasting, you know what? The popular shows are popular for a reason, and they should be easy to find. But at the same time, getting some exposure to new shows so that, you know, once I've subscribed to all the top 10, you know, am I going to listen to something new? Well, not unless I know about it. And so that's why I like the concept at both iTunes and at Geek News, at Blueberry, I should say, to provide new podcasts as well, or fresh or interesting or whatever. I would disagree with you a little bit that iTunes is a static list. I think that there is quite a bit of variability. For example, Grammar Girl, during the week after she appeared on CNN, skyrocketed up to number one. And previously, she'd been further down that list. So it does show that there can be some variability in the iTunes ratings. That's a perfect directory, mind you. Anyway, I do appreciate your rant on this topic from time to time. I think you're coming from a good expert place on it. I think that what you say matters a lot in this area. Not that I want to hear it every day in the Geek News Central, but from time to time, I think it's welcome and appropriate. So keep up the great work. Bye.
Hey, thanks so much for that. I appreciate the comments, and got a lot of feedback on my little rant as well from listeners. But you sum it up well. And I guess, you know, I guess because I don't use iTunes as my primary podcatcher, I still use Juice. I'm not on iTunes that much, and I don't go to their directory listing. And I got very, very frustrated in using their directory and actually trying to find podcasts because of just the absolute mess of that directory and people doing stuff to try to get at the top of their listings. And it was so childish, and they never cleaned it up, and it was pretty discouraging for me. I guess I'm going to have to revisit and see what iTunes is doing. All right, got one last audio comment, then a whole bunch of email to go into.
Hi, Todd. Clint Hall calling from Houston, Texas. I just heard your podcast about whether or not you should upgrade your wife's PC to Vista.
Ooh, got some feedback on
I'm
that,
voting
too.
No on that, because for one thing, the whole Windows Vista thing, I think, is... you know, it's a lot of hype for Microsoft, as usual, and any of us who are even, you know, halfway acquainted with upgrading OSs know that you never upgrade an OS, you know, you know, when it first is released, that you always wait at least 6 months to a year. So I would say to keep peace in the family and the household, don't upgrade. Bye-bye.
Hey, thanks, Clint. And you know what? You know, us Uber geeks, you know, we have, you know, I'm really refraining myself from making the jump. And I don't know how long I'm going to be able to hold out, I'll be honest with you. You know, I'm an early adopter. And, you know, I actually, believe it or not, I can't believe that I never loaded up the betas, to be quite honest with you. I just had too much other stuff going on. But now that it's out, it makes me want to really, you know, start. It's really gnawing at me a little bit to go check it out. But I got a lot of feedback, and a lot of the ladies checked in and said, don't do it, don't do it. And, you know, it's one of those rules, fellas. If the wife is happy, everything's good. But when mama's not happy in the house, whew, you know how it goes, right? So I kept the peace here, didn't do anything dumb, and kept myself out of the doghouse. And actually, I don't even have a copy of Vista sitting here yet. So maybe that'll change this weekend. I got to find a guinea pig machine that won't kill me if it destroys all my programs to put it on. But definitely the wife's machine will not be the guinea pig. But yeah, Clint, I know that a lot of people wait a while. And I don't know if I necessarily buy into that completely, but I think it's worthwhile at this point for sure for the majority of people to just hold tight. And, you know, if something's not broke, you know, why upgrade, really, you know? And that's one of the reasons why I've got a NT machine that's still sitting down here on the floor that still runs my bulletin board. And even though I've had to invest in a little bit of firewall technology to protect that machine from getting hacked, it does the job, and it's not worthy of my time to upgrade it. And I'm sure some people cringe to hear that I've got an NT box here, but hey, it still does the job, and guess what? It doesn't cost me anything to upgrade or run it. So let's go ahead and get into the actual email comments. I got an email from Mark. He says, hey, I've not been able to find your show in my MP3 player. He's got a Creative Zen Micro from about the time he came back from CES. Have you changed anything in the production of your show? Well, I did, Mark. I actually started writing all of the ID3 tags within iTunes. I used to use, or I'm probably going to start using again tonight, a program that was called MP3 Tag that would write the initial tags to it. Then I would always sub-edit within iTunes to make sure it looked right. So I tell you what, look at the show that's coming out today and tell me if you see it. That's very concerning that you have not been able to find it. And also, thanks for the other tip on the actual show name and dropping the www. Definitely appreciate that. Now, I got an email from Wendy, and Wendy's mad at me because I happen to say a lot in the show, a lot of male references. And I sent Wendy a reply back and said, okay, I'll be careful not to say you guys. I need to say you all. And ladies and gentlemen, so I do know that the ladies are out there. You all let me know definitely this week, especially with when I had said maybe I would update my wife's machine to Vista and just kind of surprise her. That got a pretty strong verbal response from many of the women in the audience. And you know what? As I replied to in the email, Wendy, I think what it's from, it's essentially from being 20 years working primarily with men. And it's not just because, you know, it's definitely because of where I work. It's really, really male dominated. And so I'm probably just so used to saying you all, you guys, or, you know, that I forget to address the ladies properly. So I apologize, and I have slapped my hand. And but Wendy, thanks for being part of the Ohana, being part of the family here. And thanks for being subscribed. Got an email from a person from Dell, believe it or not, and sent me some information on what's going on with Dell. I found this pretty interesting that he sent me some links, and I'll probably put these up in a blog post, but it's interesting that people from Dell are actually listening to the show. Okay, got an email from Ken over at the Mac Update, and you want to check Ken's show out over at applenewsnow.libsyn.com. He says, you're always talking about the RIAA. I thought you might get a kick out of this one. And I tell you what, When you all read this article, you're going to almost stand up and cheer for this kid that is really putting the smackdown back on the RIAA. And it's nice to see some people finally stand up and fight those guys. But I'll put the link up in the listener notes on within the show notes. I've got an email from Neil. Neil had linked me the information on the Windows Vista upgrade version to a clean install. He actually dropped the steps in the email. Actually, Neil, I need to get this up in the in a blog post. I do want to thank you from that. Neil is a listener out of London, and thanks for being part of the family. Got an email from Luke. He said, "Hey Todd, just a quick note to agree with other listeners. I listen to GNC and Twit and some other Twit podcasts, and it's GNC that gets the first play every time, and then some other tech podcasts first, like Mike Tech Show, Techorama, and others." He says, "I was listening to Leoport on Net at Night last week where he's talking about all the email he receives, and he does not read it all. This is where I think that you and members of the Blueberry and Tech Podcast and Fit communities are doing it the right way and keeping involved with the listeners. Keep it up. I certainly appreciate all you do for us. From one of the long-distance Ohana over here in the UK. Cheers, Luke." Luke, thanks so much for being part of the Ohana. And I tell you what, I read all the email, but I can't respond to all of it on the show. Definitely appreciate it, though, and I try to get through a portion of it every podcast. But I do read all of it for sure. He says, "Aloha, Todd. Hope your head is feeling better and the little ones have settled down." Yes, they have. I think the full moon finally departed. He said, "You're asking for feedback on I first heard about your podcast. I've been a Locker Gnome fan for a long time. I've been listening to you for a good while now, and I'm almost certain that I first found you when Chris plugged your book. Hey, thanks for being with us, Lumpy. I do appreciate it." And he goes on to say, "Personally, I do not really use portals to find podcasts. I stop by podcast promos from time to time and check out the more recent editions, but 95% of the time I listen to stuff I hear on other podcasts. So because of my other job, I can listen to podcasts almost 8 hours a day." Wow, that's awesome. Kudos on your book, by the way. Thanks so much on that. And he says, "I checked it out of the library and feel that of the three texts I read on the subject, it was the best. Although we are currently on hold, it was helpful with radiostatic.am. Keep up the great work." Thanks. Appreciate that for sure. Got an email from Kevin. "Hey, Todd, thanks for coming on my Slingbox post. I now have my 15 minutes of fame. Just to respond to some of the questions you asked, Cablevision, a big ISP on Long Island, New York, and much of the East Coast, they own Madison Square Gardens. And he says, "An epilogue to the story, after my run-in with Cablevision Tech later that evening, I tested my upload speed, and it was now at 1.5 megabyte. That's a big jump from 500K. What really upset me was the threatening tone and the fact that they couldn't quantify what would cause them to filter me. I have the last laugh anyway. I told the tech that next Friday would be the second happiest day of my life. The first was when I called Cablevision to cancel my TV service when I switched over to DirecTV. And next Friday is the day after Verizon's coming to install the FIOS or Fios service, so I'll be calling to cancel my Optimum Online service. Well, congratulations. I am severely jealous on you being able to get that service, but I'm sure you're going to enjoy it." He says, "They really just don't get it. There are people who actually do things on the computers. For every one person like me, they have 30, 40 users who probably never use any upload speed. Well, anyway, thanks for sharing the word with your listeners and keep up the great work. I won't try to swell your head too much like some of the listeners this week, but I'll tell you there are at least three tech podcasts I listen to every week. GNC, Twit, and Cranky Geeks. So you're right up there in the top of my book. Thanks, Kevin. Definitely appreciate that." All right, this is one of the last emails for tonight, and you're going to get a laugh out of this. Brian sent me an email. He'd left work in the evening. He was in New York City, walking down 59th Street and Madison Avenue, and he noticed some spotlights shining on buildings at the 40th and 50th floors above the street level. And he thought, "Hey, what's going on over there?" And he thought maybe it's a new club opening up or maybe a new Broadway show. And a couple blocks later, he realized the spotlights were coming from the overpriced high-end electronic shop at 56th Street. Then it hit me, but could this all really be over the Vista release? And he sent me some pictures, and all I can describe is these people were pretty lonely. He says, "In the first one, a doorman in a tux appears to be checking a guest list. The second you can see, they got out the red carpet and velvet ropes. And in it, the third, it appears nobody is very interested. The shop looks empty and the folks are just passing right on by with the same enthusiasm they exhibit when passing a hot dog cart on the corner. And really, there's no one standing outside this building. It looks like they're expecting the premiere to the Emmys or something. And you look inside the store and there's nobody there. Anyone else have an experience on Windows Vista launch night? All right. Thanks for Lois, Lon, John, Jimmy, Ken, Bree, Axel. What else here? Bob. I guess that's it on emails. Thanks for all your feedback. Thanks for all the people that sent in the emails telling me where they found the show. Not one person found the show on Dig. So that kind of proves my point. A couple of you found me on Podcast Alley. Some of you found me in some variety of different sites, but no one from Dig. So it just goes to prove my point. We're in an hour and 10 minutes. Oh, my goodness. Well, hey, thanks for being part of the family. Show kind of felt, I don't know, how do you guys feel the show was tonight? I didn't feel like I had my groove on completely. And I don't know if you guys can tell. I definitely can tell when my flow's not quite right. Self-conscious of it, I guess. But as always, hey, thanks for staying subscribed. Thanks for being part of the HANA. Send your voicemail comments to 619-342-7365, 619-342-7365. Of course, your emails are always welcome to geeknews@gmail.com. geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, visit the website geeknewscentral.com. And hey, until next Tuesday, you all have a great weekend. And hey, aloha.